Maureen. Couple of things just before we launch into what I feel is going to be a life-changing thought for you this morning. The Evangelical Alliance, if you're familiar or unfamiliar with it, is like a national organization that unites churches together, a bit of a church union, I think, really. And they speak to the government and powers and the powers that be on behalf of churches. And we're part of that. And beginning of this year, they invited churches, I guess across the world, but certainly in the UK, to take up the challenge of reading a book together. Over a period of a month, and we wanted to take up that challenge. And so as a leadership, we sort of sat down and had a brief chat about how we're going to do it, how that's going to work. I'm an avid book reader, and one of the great authors that I love is John Ortberg. I'm sure some of you have read some of his stuff. But what we've done is we've purchased, and they're out there, you've seen them as you came in the reception area. We've got a pile of these, enough for at least for one for each household. The Me I Want to Be. We're not particularly going to be strict and say you've got to read this in a month. There's only 22 chapters. You can read it in a few minutes, so you've got a bit of wiggle room if you miss a day or two. But we're not sort of holding you to, Rob, have you read it this month, sort of thing. But we are going to be... Throughout the month of June, we're going to spend those 4 weeks in terms of preaching around this very theme under the title of Flourish. It's a great book. It will challenge your life. Our whole language of 168 is wrapped up in this. And at the end of each chapter, there's just a page of sort of reflection to help you just think back on what you've just read rather than motor on into the next chapter. So they're all in reception there. Please take one as you go. We want everybody to have one. If you're able to contribute a tenner towards the purchase of it, that will be great. But don't feel you've got to be obliged to do that. Because like I say, we want everybody to be able to have one. And if that's the case, just put 10 quid in the offering box at the back there. But please take one. Please read it. And I pray in the name of Jesus that this will be just a great inspiration in your mind, in your heart, and in your home. Mark, who's on the welcome team, and I think Jane's on the welcome team, they will hover around at the end and make sure you take one, so you're not going to avoid this, is no. And if you're not a reader, you will be from now. No pressure. So last Sunday, if you were here, we just had a great... Having had 2 years off, if that's the way to describe it, with the virus of no Easter celebrations. Just last Sunday was amazing, wasn't it? You know, to be able to sit together as a church and eat breakfast together and then, you know, cram this place with people and worship God together. And I just want to publicly say, whether you're online, whether you're here in the building or somewhere else, you're going to follow this in the next sort of 24 hours. Thank you. You know that any event, whatever, whether it's just a Sunday morning like this or something where there's a bit more happening like last Sunday, there's so much goes on behind the scenes by so many people to make it happen, as with anything in life. And I'm not here the classic, you know, if I start naming people, you'll miss somebody out. So if you were part of last Sunday in whatever way, and that includes if you ate one of the sandwiches, you're part of last Sunday. Thank you so, so much indeed. And I say that because what I want to do is go behind the scenes a little bit this morning in probably one of the most famous stories in the Bible. And I really want to hit something here that I feel is I don't know whether you'd say prophetic. That's sort of jargon, isn't it, really, for Christians? But I think it's quite a poignant message that I want to bring for every one of us, to bring us back wherever we are in our journey of faith, to just look at what we stand for, what we believe, and at the heart of it, you know, the day-by-day pulse that beats in our hearts, how connected that is with the agenda of God. So let me read this to you, probably the most famous wedding in history. Here are the words. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. That was a good invitation to send. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, They've no more wine. Just, if you're not familiar with this story, just follow the dialogue here. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother, that's Mary, said to Jesus, "They've no more wine." Just, "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My hour has not yet come." So his mother, I'm adding here, his mother ignored him and said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. And he told them, "Now draw out some and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink." There's a lesson for us all. "But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and the disciples believed in him. Let me take you back, some of you before you were born, to 1975. I'd become a Christian a couple of years earlier as a teenager. And like churches today, people were invited to be baptized in water. And it was the early days of birthing pools. We didn't have an underwater tank or the very cool new tank that we've got that'll be brought out in a couple of weeks' time. It was a birthing pool. And me and a few friends of mine who had become Christians, we got baptized. Hey, you love this. You give your testimony, we heard it recently, the story of how you met Christ and all this sort of thing. And Shawadi Wadi, were in the charts at number one with a great song that probably is the only one you'll ever remember. "Now there are three steps to heaven, or three steps to..." Yeah. You thought that was it then, didn't you? Like, tribute band there. No? And I got baptized, and as we do today, there was somebody there who were, who had prayed and got a verse for each of the people getting baptized, a promise. And mine was one that's probably been used, a billion times since, because it's just a great verse for anybody being baptized. And some of you will quote it because you know it. It's Romans 8, verse 28. "We all know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him." All things work together for good to those that love God. Great verse. Held on to it for all these, 75, all these few years since. Love the verse, means so much. And yet, is one of those statements that can be a little bit baffling, because we can look at an individual situation and go, that really was not all that pleasant, good, or seemingly beneficial. And then you go back to the verse, and actually, you've got to reread it and just check that you've got it right, because it says, all these things work together for good. Just go back throughout the Bible, ask Joseph, ask Abraham, ask people here today, the journey that they've gone on, and that incredible gift of hindsight. Looking back and going, where am I going with this? Well, we've been singing a song recently, great song. In fact, let's sing it to finish. Pressure. Waymaker. Last verse. "Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working." Let me be untheological for a minute. There's a verse in the Bible, and I want to rewrite it a bit. Camera off for a moment. So I'll be sacked. The angel speaks to Mary. And one of the statements that the angel, when Mary questions it, how can this be? And he sort of explains, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And then he says, because nothing is impossible for God. And we all accept that in the way that it rolls out, the fact that God can do anything. But let me, as somebody who has sort of ignored grammar all his life, I preach how I write, it just goes and full stop at the end. Nothing is impossible with God. Sorry, any teachers here, you hate me now, don't you really? Nothing is impossible with God. Yeah, it does sort of suggest that God can do anything, but also what about God being inactive? So nothing, to do nothing, is impossible for God. He's always on the move. He's always active. He's always doing something. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. What am I getting at? Because, you see, behind the scenes here, stuff is going on that the majority of people have no clue about. But the statement in the words here says, but the servants knew. Wow. That hit me like a ton of bricks. I read it this week. But the servants knew. It's an obvious story. If you've never read this before, I think you get the idea of what's going on here. Jesus, the disciples, the neighborhood are going to the wedding. This was a great free-for-all. People were eating and drinking. But in the background, while everybody's, you know, enjoying the disco and, you know, singing along to Dancing Queen, because it's that old, isn't it, you know? You are... Thank you. There's stuff going on behind the scenes here that people aren't aware of. Let me take you just for a few moments. I don't want to drag this out into your life wherever it sits right now. And I think Mark and Vanessa and Mike and others that have spoken have led me right into this. It's great because whatever season of life you're going through, want you to look this morning behind the scenes. And actually take on board again that however good, bad, indifferent, happy, sad, don't ever want to do this again, is going on around your world at this moment, I want you to just sort of turn around and have a look behind the scenes. And if you're somebody who knows the Bible and understands the way that God works, then I just want to remind you again that God is involved with our lives 24/7, 168, however you want to describe it. When we sleep, He's there. When we're in difficulty, He's our strength. When things are happy, He's dancing with us. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. So we've got three groups here. Let me divide this crowd, the wedding guests, into three groups of people. And I want you to put yourself in one of them, but don't beat yourself up. The entertained, they're all ease, in fact. Gosh, my Bible college lecturers would be proud of me for once in my life. The entertained, the crowd. I don't know how many were at this wedding, but average wedding today, 150 people, something like that. I guess there was probably a lot more, the whole village. But hey, there was a crowd there. And all the shenanigans that are going on behind the scenes, the vast majority of people haven't got a clue. They've enjoyed the ceremony. They've celebrated with the couple. They're enjoying the buffet that's out there. They're drinking the wine. And all is good. And everybody's happy. And weddings are such happy, happy occasions. Oblivious totally to the situation that's evolving back in the kitchens. Where Mary, I don't know. Forgive me if you think this is irreverent. How did Mary do this? Jesus is there. He's talking to the disciples. You know, it's like you're at a wedding, you're chatting to everybody around, you're having conversations, you're catching up. Son of God, you know, creator of the heavens and the earth, need a word. You ever talk to God like that? It's just, is that irreverent or am I okay there? Just a word, son. Yeah, Mom, I'm talking to the lads here, just, you know, getting a lemonade in. They've run out of wine. Mom, not my fault. Meanwhile, everything's going on and everybody's okay. And Jesus then responds because his mum almost dictates the situation here. And he speaks to the servants. It's just incredible. You know, he's thinking in the moment. You know, these aren't great plans like, wait a minute, Mum, let me go to page 42. Wedding, no wine. Yeah, I know what to do now. No. Here's a guy who's in the moment. He's got the idea. He knows where he's going, the purpose about his life. So he just responds and he gets the guys who are doing all the waiters and, you know, get the water jars that people have washed the feet in as they've arrived at the wedding. Why? Just fill them. They go out, they fill them, they come back. It's wine and the servants are absolutely blown away. But the vast majority haven't got a clue. They're just enjoying even better wine that's appearing in a minute or two. There's one crowd, the entertained, let me not drag this out too much. Number two, the inquirers. Because it's the master of the banquet, Jesus says, go serve it to the master of the banquet. And he comes and asks the question, it's up here. Most people do it the other way around, but you've saved the best wine to last. He's observed something and he's questioning it. But the third E, after the entertained and the inquirers, is the engaged. The servants. That John records here, but the servants knew. At what point did they disclose this information? In classic Hollywood, 2 weeks later. And they're talking about the great wedding a couple of weeks ago of whoever it was. And this is one of the servants, and they're saying, did you hear all that about the wine? And he's like, I know what went on. The lad from Nazareth, you heard about him. Do you know what he did? No, he did. Unbelievable. The story goes on, and that's how we've got this reproduction of the Bible. People told stories, encountered, and passed them on to other people. And 2 weeks later, there are people who are sort of not accepting the story that's coming in because nobody's ever done that before. And I love the fact that God does things in ways that he's never repeated. I'm not sure that's ever happened. You run out of drink at any do you've done? And done the Jesus method or done the Tesco method? As in, get down there and buy some more. The engaged, the servants knew. I don't know where you would sit in any of that. Whether things just pass you by and that's it, that's the way it is, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. Whether sometimes you do question and wonder and ask about why this has happened in the way that it's done, because that's what the bridegroom, the master of the banquet asked. Or whether you are fully engaged with God, you're living in the moment. The idea that I believe my life is surrendered to God and therefore all things do work together for the good of those who love him. God hasn't ignored me. God realizes I'm out of wine, whatever that might be. I'm running on water. And it's not quenching my thirst. But then we retreat back and we say, God, I believe you're that. Let me take you on one or two bits here. Because there were many times when people didn't get what God was doing. And I've just got three. There are many in the Bible. The guys that walk with Jesus on the Emmaus Road. They've walked, they've chatted with him. I'm still a bit baffled as to how they didn't know it was him. Forgive me, but this is the guy you've lived with and walked with for 3 years. And you don't, you know, not had some sort of surgery. But yet somehow they don't recognize. But when they got back to the house and they'd had this discourse with him, they get in there and it says he broke bread with them and their eyes were opened. The servants knew. The man that had been murdered days earlier, this is actually him. Behind it all, God's plan was working. Despite the worst thing that had happened in this scenario, God's plan was being worked out. And their eyes were open to it. Let me take you back to the Old Testament, to the book of Kings. We sing a song about it, all about, you know, I'm surrounded by you. Elisha, He's got a servant who's absolutely petrified because the enemies around him are about to swamp them. He looks around and all he can see is enemy. He's in the crowd. Elisha's not. Elisha's one of the engaged ones because he gets it. So rather than sort of slapping him and going, "Wake up, mate, do you not know what's going on?" He just prays, "Lord, open his eyes." And he says, his eyes were opened, and what's the statement? "There are more for us than are for them." He saw it. He got it. Mary, broken, walking around the garden with memories of the Christ, wondering now how this would all work out. A world has fallen apart. She begins talking again. And I think this is just incredible. The Bible says she thinking he was the gardener. It's amazing how you can lose sight of something. Whether that's the fog that comes or the tears that sort of drive in there, or just the idea that this isn't what we wanted in life. And for each of these people and groups of people, suddenly something happened. Their eyes were opened. I love the fact that God disguised himself as a gardener. The very answer to her question and difficulty and problem was there. And she didn't even see it. Let me sit down in a second. I think you've got the gist. The servants knew. The servants knew what was going on behind the scenes. So I want you to just look behind the scenes in your life. In your life group, as you pray for others and think about others around you, as you see family sometimes imploding because of decisions they've got to make or whatever's going on. Look behind the scenes. Allow God to be God. Allow God to infiltrate. Get the idea that even when I don't see it, you're working. And as we've heard this morning, even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. Because nothing, inactivity, is impossible with God. Because all things work together for the good of those who love him. If I lose sight of that verse that was given to me, I think my faith collapses. I'm forgiven, yeah. I've got a passport to heaven, hopefully. But in the in-between, I want to know that God is working on my behalf, and I have to believe the promise that he will be with me till the end of the age. Never will I, you know, the scriptures, they just roll out, don't they? And I think for many of you, you need to hear what I'm saying this morning. The servants knew, be engaged, look behind the scenes and see that Jesus is picking up water and he's turning it into wine that will quench your thirst. Close your eyes if you don't mind. And I just want to pray. But I don't want to just generally pray. I want to just take a moment for you just to soak up the sense of what the Holy Spirit is nudging you and I with today. In the junk of my life, I've got to believe that God is working. However faint a grip I've got on the Jesus that I love, I've got a grip. Just mull through some of the songs that we sing, "You'll Never Let Go." I believe that. I do. Be a servant. The servants knew. allow the Holy Spirit to speak. Just in a quiet 30 seconds. Jesus. Take a moment then just to surrender. If you've lost sight of God in the fog, if it feels a bit like you're drowning, wow. Just reach out. Look behind the scenes. Jesus. Father, I just pray now for each one of us. As we sit here where, for this moment, heaven and earth meet together, we surrender again our lives to you. And for those that don't know you, we surrender our lives for the first time and say, come and live and be part of the agenda of my day, Monday to Sunday, my sleeping, my waking, my work, my family, my neighborhood. Help me to see you, Lord, even in the fog, even in the desperation of the moment. I'm looking behind the scenes and seeing that in the kitchen of my life, you're turning water into wine. Oh, Jesus. Just come amongst us now, Lord.